It's time for Northwestern Outdoors Radio, the show focusing on fishing, hunting, outdoor recreation, destinations, and conservation in the region where you live and play. Northwestern Outdoors is brought to you by Max Lure Company, Sportsman's Warehouse, and Wallowa County. And now, let's see what's going on in the field and on the water with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome to the show. Our top story today is all about Idaho Republican Mike Simpson's $33-plus billion proposal to breach the four lower Snake River dams to save dwindling salmon and steelhead runs. As expected, his fellow Republican congressional members in the Northwest oppose this ambitious plan, but it is supported by a number of conservation organizations as well as by Oregon Governor Kate Brown and several tribes in the region. Last week, though, Simpson's plan lost some serious momentum when several Democrats who many thought would welcome this proposal have publicly come out opposing it. Those Democrats include Washington Governor Jay Inslee as well as the U.S. Senators from Washington, Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell. In a joint statement shared by King 5 News in Seattle, they said more work within the Pacific Northwest is necessary to craft a lasting, comprehensive solution, and we do not believe the Simpson proposal can be included in the proposed federal infrastructure package. Therefore, we are calling for a formal regional process that is based on science, consensus, and ensuring all voices in the region are heard. In other words, back to the drawing board. Considering the fact all four dams are located in Washington State, this may well be a death blow to Congressman Simpson's dam removal proposal. Turning to what's on tap for this week's edition of Northwestern Outdoors Radio, we are going to talk to Glenn May. He's the man behind the incredible website you absolutely have to check out if you're a bass angler, called bassresource.com. American shad are running up the Umpqua River right now, and the first wave is coming across Bonneville Dam on the Columbia too, which makes this a great time for Bob Loomis to tell you about the Shad Slammer. It's a lure meant just for those feisty fish from Max Lure. Another fish you'll find in the Columbia River as well as the Snake River are the northern pike minnow. And in case you haven't been paying attention, there is a program that pays you some serious money for catching these fish and turning them in to check stations up and down both of these rivers. The Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery Program is going on right now, and Eric Winther will join us to tell you where the hot spots are and how you can catch them and make some money too. In addition to this, we've got another state record fish to tell you about that was caught here in the Northwest this month, and Amy Grisak will be coming on the line. She is the author of a brand new book, The Nature Guide to Glacier and Waterton Lakes National Parks, and we'll talk about what went into putting this wonderful book from Falcon Guides together, and also give you some ideas about where to go in the park if you want a chance to see certain animals like bears and mountain goats. We'll wrap up the show with your Sportsman's Warehouse trivia question of the week, where you get the chance to win a $25 gift card from America's premier outfitter. Before we get into all of this, though, let's see what David Sparks has got for us this week on Sportsman Spotlight, brought to you by the Ag Information Network of the West.
Planning to head outdoors today? The National Shooting Sports Foundation reminds you to check the fire danger levels in your area. Whether target shooting, camping, or even parking a car with a hot exhaust, remember to take precautions. As we know, wildfires have many possible causes. Don't be one of them.
A baby boom in the woods. David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight. During the spring wildlife baby boom, young animals are better off left alone. Spring has sprung, and so is the peak of baby wildlife season. People are bound to see young wildlife when they venture outdoors during the spring and early summer, and there's a pretty good chance that they will see a baby animal that appears to be alone, with mom nowhere in sight. How do we handle that situation? Let's talk to Fish and Game official Roger Phillips.
You know, this is the time of year when people frequently encounter young wildlife, as in babies, and best intention folks like to think that they're saving animals that really don't need saving. And so we just really want to discourage that. In almost every situation, that animal is just fine and the mother's going to be back to get it. And when people pick those things up, it makes things a whole lot more complicated. So just leave those out in the woods and let Mother Nature and Mother take care of those.
Mammals such as deer, elk, and pronghorn routinely leave their young in a secure location, moving off to feed and returning later, sometimes hours later. The intention is to quickly feed their young and then leave again. Young animals instinctively remain still. David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight. You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We've got Eric Winther on the line again. He's the project leader for the Columbia River Predator Control Program. And primarily, he works with the Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery Program. That's that program where you go out, select portions of the Columbia and Snake Rivers. You catch pike minnow that are over 9 inches long. You bring them back to a check station, and you get vouchers that you turn in for cash. And in some cases, you're going to get quite a bit of cash if you do this long enough. Eric, great to have you back on the air.
Hey, John. Good to be here.
The Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery Program opened up for one area in April off the mouth of the Yakima River. It's now open everywhere along the Columbia River up to Priest Rapids Dam and up the Snake River past Lewiston and Clarkston. Are the hot spots? How are things going so far?
Well, it's way better than last year. I start off with that. Boy, last year we didn't even get started until the 11th of May because
true.
Of the whole COVID thing.
Right.
So we're happy to have those first 10, 11 days, and we're about 6,000 fish ahead of where we would have been last year. But as might be expected, the Dalles has been our hot spot early on. The other areas are kind of getting some flashes here and there, so there's fish available. But the toughest fishing right now is probably on the Snake, but everywhere else there's a few fish. It's just you got to find them, and they aren't quite schooled up for spawning, which happens in June. So we're getting closer every day, though.
How did that early opening go at the mouth of the Yakima River near the Tri-Cities?
Well, the whole idea there is why we wanted to start early. It's because a lot of times our anglers have noticed that there are numbers of pike minnow congregated in that Yakima River Delta, right where it meets the Columbia.
Right.
And when we start on May 1st, somewhere about the middle, third week of May, normally spring runoff comes and the water rises and the fishing there kind of dries up by the end of May or first week or two of June. So the thought was if we could get out there a little early, maybe we could hit those fish a little better. So did that this year. It started out pretty good. We had a few coughs and spits because I think when they're flushing the irrigation ditches up there and channels, it sends pulses of weeds and grass and such downstream, and that really messes with the fishing. But
sure.
If the water's clear, you're doing good. But if the weeds are there, yeah, it's pretty tough.
What was the best area for fishing so far, if there was one specific station where there was really high catch rates?
Well, as far as for the week, if you go way downriver by Kalama, which is right along I-5 just north of Vancouver, it was just under 12 fish per angler per day last week. So that was certainly a hot spot. Washougal was not too far behind it. And the Dalles had a lower catch rate, but a lot more people. So there's fish, but there's a lot more people there. So it's kind of a trade-off. Those have been kind of the hot spots so far.
What about those tagged $500 pike minnow? Have any of those been caught and turned in yet?
We have. And actually, we got four of them last week. We've got five of them so far to date, but I've already heard of at least that many caught just this week. So I know ODFW has been out tagging last week, this week, and I think they got one or two more weeks going of that. But it sounds like there's a bunch of tags out there, a bunch of new tags. And so I expect that number to jump up quite a bit here the next week or so.
Oh, I really want to catch one of those $500 fish. And something else we need to talk about here is something new that's going on this year. Now, I think people that have been involved with this program before know where the regular check stations are and registration stations, but you've got a whole bunch of satellite stations that are, some are open now, some are opening up in June. They're not going to be open the entire season. Where are these, and what's the purpose of having these satellite stations open?
So what we've noticed over the years, John, is that all of these stations have kind of their own little profile. So some of them are good early in the year, and then by the last 2 months of the season, there's not much going on, just a couple fish here, a couple fish there. Others start out slow and then go gangbusters at the end of the season. So inevitably, as our budgets get tighter, we're forced to be more efficient. And so what I'm trying to do is pair up some of those stations where you have a station like Columbia Point, which is historically busy right off the bat, and then pair that up with a station that can be good later in the year, like up at Windus Park right below Lower Monumental Dam, or up at Ringgold up in the Hanford Reach. That's what we're trying to do, just be more places during a time when, if we were at the standard stations, not a whole lot was going on. We're just splitting time trying to provide some more opportunity.
All right. And folks, if you want to know where these stations are, just go to the website pikeminnow.org. You'll find a map which has got all the stations on the Snake and Columbia River that you can check out. And you're also going to find all the information you want to know about participating in this program. One other question I want to ask you, and that's about catching pike minnow from shore. I know doing it from a boat is the best way. We've talked about this before, but what are the best places at this time of year and during the month of June to actually try to catch a bunch of pike minnow from shore, and what's the best way to do it?
Well, just like boat anglers, the best technique is bait fishing. So you're going to want to use either chicken liver, or, of course, if you can get your hands on those some of those Mormon crickets. Those are just a dynamite bait. But you got to do a little work to go get them and make sure they don't get a hold of you and draw blood.
The bug that bites back, yes.
Yes, the bait that bites back, exactly. But there's a couple spots. For example, at the Dalles on the Washington shore, there's an old ferry landing that's been a pretty good producer for bank anglers already this year. I mean, historically it is as well, but this year seems even a little better than usual. You're around the Tri-Cities, actually anywhere other than the Snake right now. Snake is running a little colder, and so that's not quite happening yet. But if you're around Tri-Cities or in the lower river, if you can get access to a public dock or a point that reaches out into the river that where you have a current seam, those are excellent places to try. And typically you're going to be plunking bait. You want to use a dropper so that your bait's a little bit up off the bottom, maybe 6 inches, something like that, because there's a lot of gunk down in the bottom of the Columbia River. And
sure,
if you have it right on the bottom, you know, your bait, a lot of times, I don't think is seen very well. So that's what I would do from a shore point of view. And then the other one would be if you go below any of the dams, what they call the tail race area, which is the downstream side of the dams, casting plastic tubes historically is pretty darn effective. We're a little bit early on that, but probably here in the next 2 weeks or so, that should start to pick up as well.
You know, it's funny, you turned me on to that last year, and I was actually fishing right below John Day Dam. Didn't actually catch a single pike minnow, but boy, oh boy, I sure cleaned up on the smallmouth bass in that area. So some bonus fishing for you there. In the meantime, if you want to make some money catching fish, check out the Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery Program. The website to go to is pikeminnow.org. It's got all the information you need, and you can literally make thousands of dollars, like multi-thousand dollar paychecks this summer. It goes all the way to the end of September. So go fishing now if you're looking for a summer job. You're absolutely going to love it. The website again, pikeminnow.org. Eric, always a pleasure.
My pleasure, John. Appreciate talking with you. Thank you.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter and has what you need as a hunter, angler, hiker, paddler, camper, and outdoors enthusiast. They also carry an extensive assortment of firearms and ammunition you simply can't find anymore at many big box stores. On top of that, their knowledgeable staff is here to help you purchase the right gear so you can get the most out of your outdoor experience. Visit your local Sportsman's Warehouse store today or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com.
Go fishing, make money, help out, and have fun. That's what the Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery is all about. From May 1st through September 30th, catch pike minnow out of the Columbia and Snake Rivers and turn them in for cash. Pike minnow eat juvenile salmon and steelhead. Each one you catch helps more juvenile fish reach the ocean. Pike minnow are worth anywhere from $5 to $8, and keep an eye out for tagged fish worth $500. Find out more at pikeminnow.org and go fishing.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores, plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
With more of the great outdoors on Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
Yes, indeed, it is time for another Max Minute, and with us again to talk fishing is Bob Loomis with Max Lure Company. Bob, I got to tell you, I'm kind of excited about the weeks ahead.
You know, let's face it, John, when you start talking about, you know, that late May time frame and everything is going off the hook, your trout, walleye, everything, but the river is really starting to stack up with one of the largest forage bases that we have in this system, and that's the American Shad.
Oh, absolutely. Now, that run's already been going on the Umpqua in Oregon, but the last 2 years, we've had 6 million plus shad returning up the Columbia Rivers. It has been off the charts crazy good for shad fishing. Now, they don't eat good, but they're great for bait. They're fun to catch. How do you like to go about catching them?
John, everybody's got a little bit different style, but, you know, getting in a quote lane, getting in an area where you've got shad going through, dropping down to a certain depth in that current with some type of small spinner works absolutely fantastic and will get those fish to bite. One of the things that we actually made with our Smile Blade was we made a Smile Blade Shad Slammer, which is a Smile Blade on top of a number of different high UV beads, number 4 hook, and it just works fantastic for catching shad.
And the thing with shad, folks, you don't need bait. It's literally, they're just going to hit the hook. They're going to just see that spinner, and you're going to have fish on. And, you know, they average 1, 2, 3 pounds. What's the biggest one you've ever caught?
We've caught a few up in the 5-pound range.
I haven't got them that big. I've definitely got a few in the 4-pound range.
But
if you are looking for a scrappy, fun fighting fish, especially one you want to take the kids out for, go shad fishing and get yourself a whole bunch of Smile Blade Shad Slammers. You'll be in for a great and fun trip on the Columbia River. Best places to try if you don't know where to go: below Bonneville Dam, below John Day Dam, both very friendly for bank fishing, and there's boat fishing available there too. Thanks as always, Bob.
Thank you.
Want to put a smile on your face? Start off by putting a Smile Blade from Max Lure Company on your line. Max Smile Blades come in different sizes and spin at slow speeds, not like those metal blades on other lures. Buy them separately or on ready-made rigs like the Wedding Ring Spinner, Double Whammy, Wally Pop, and more. Smile Blades work for trout, bass, walleye, as well as other species, and when that fish hits, you'll have a grin on your face that won't go away. The Smile Blade, only from Max Lure Company.
Go fishing. Help salmon and make money. You can do it through September 30th by catching Northern Pike Minnow and turning them in for cash. Here's how it works. First, register at a designated station on the Columbia or Snake River. Then, go fishing. At the end of the day, turn in any pike minnow you catch 9 inches or longer and look for the ones with tags worth $500. You'll get vouchers for those pike minnow you turn in, and you mail those in for cash. Find out more at pikeminnow.org.
Backcountry hunters and anglers, the men and women working hard to keep public lands in public hands. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and our next stop is Seattle, Washington. It's the unlikely setting for one of the best bass fishing websites in the entire nation. That website is bassresource.com, and the man behind it is Glenn May. Glenn, welcome to the show.
John, thank you for having me on your show. I've been a big fan of yours for many years, so it's quite an honor to be here.
Well, I'm a big fan of your website, and I want you to tell our listeners a little bit more about it if they haven't logged in there before. Besides all sorts of articles and the latest in bass fishing news, what else are they going to find there?
You know, the name of the site is the Ultimate Bass Fishing Resource Guide, and so it kind of lives up to that name. We do have over 10,000 articles on bass fishing, covering everything you can think of, every facet, from beginners to advanced anglers, all about lures and different techniques. We even go into detail about forage base and lake management and fish behavior and how bass are affected by their environment and in turn affect how you fish for them. Even things about boats, how to buy a boat, and electronics and so on and so forth. We also have hundreds of videos, which is also on our YouTube channel too. But these are all how-to videos, various tips and techniques and ways to catch bass in all different ways. And as you mentioned, news. We have the latest news. It could be anywhere from, you know, all the latest tournaments from the major tournament circuits to regional reports. Say, for example, your local lake is there renovating their lake and bringing the water levels down at an unusual time, or changing or fixing their ramps. Or as you might know, you know, the zebra mussel and quagga mussel are hot topics right now. Montana's doing a great job of that, handling that, and we cover that as well. Plus, we have the forums. Our forums are immensely popular, and we have 70,000 members alone just come into our forums, and at any time you go there, there's hundreds and hundreds of people on it just talking the breeze about fishing and asking questions and answering them and having a great time.
Wow, 70,000 people engaged with the forum. And I'm guessing that's probably the most popular feature of your website is the forum and the back and forth that goes on there.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's kind of fun. It's, you know, we have a set of people that come in, they're brand new to fishing or been fishing for a while, and they're trying new techniques and they have a lot of questions, or maybe they're thinking about purchasing a rod and reel and they really want to be sure before they plunk down their money. So they ask people who's had experience with this. And we have a bunch of other people that are on here, regulars that are on, sometimes they're parked on the site all day long with decades of experience, and they just love to help people out and share their experience and their wealth of knowledge and answer their questions. Plus, we have, you know, people just like to shoot the breeze about baseball and football and, you know, talk about what's on TV. And it's a great time on there. And the reason why, really, is we moderate the forums pretty good.
Good.
And we keep out all the fighting and all the bickering. And we really have one rule of thumb on there, and that's to treat others with respect. And so we enforce that. We also don't allow anybody to talk about religion or politics.
Smart.
Which are like two hot topics, right?
Yes. Very smart.
People get into fights. With that in mind, it's a very family-friendly environment. We don't even allow swear words on the forums. And so people feel very welcome, very comfortable and at ease. I've had people tell me that, you know, this is one of the few sites they like to sit down with their kids and walk through and let them read it. They feel very comfortable with it. So it's a real natural environment, and a lot of friends are made there. A lot of people find out, you know, who's fishing near them or who lives near them, they get a new fishing buddy. So yeah, they're extremely popular.
I love it. Again, folks, you're listening to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Glenn May, the man behind the website, bassresource.com, your best resource for bass fishing you're going to find out there. And Glenn's located right in Seattle. Now, you live here in Washington State. I've got to ask, what is your favorite bass lake? Is it like Lake Washington or Lake Sammamish on the west side? Or is it maybe Potholes Reservoir in my neck of the woods in the Columbia Basin?
Well, that's a great question. I've fished all over Washington State, and I kind of divide my favorites between Western and Eastern Washington, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
You know, Eastern Washington, you know, it's kind of a gimme. Potholes is a fantastic bass fishery. So, you know, love fishing that. But Banks Lake is awesome. I vacation there often. And the Columbia River is a tremendous fishery. And all three really are, not only for bass, but also other species as well. And I like to wet a line for walleye and crappie every now and then. And,
oh, yeah.
Those are great fisheries for all of that. So those are my top picks for Eastern Washington. Western Washington, man, there's so many choices. But to narrow it down, I would say I like Big Lake up in Skagit County. Been fishing that since I was a kid. Lake Sammamish,
yes,
is a great fishery. And, you know, it's amazing how good that fishery is. And Lake Washington as well considering it's right in the middle of, you know, Seattle and Bellevue area and Issaquah. It's like, you know, so many people are on there on that lake and get so much pressure. But both Sammamish and Lake Washington are my top of my list. And then, of course, you can't talk about bass fishing in Washington without talking about Silver Lake down in Carroll.
I agree.
Down by Mount St. Helens. That fishery is continually pushing out great bass populations despite the pressure year after year, decade after decade. That is a fantastic fishery, and I love fishing it.
Let's talk about some of the other lakes in the Northwest. Now, we've talked about Oregon lakes recently, so we're going to stay out of Oregon, except, you know, the mention of the Columbia River we had. But let's talk about Idaho. Let's talk about Montana. Let's talk about Wyoming. What are some of your favorites, and what are some of the favorites that you see popping up on the forum?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we do have a lot of people on the forums. That lake reports are very, very popular on the forums, and we actually have some forums that are broken out by region, and Western is one of them. And so you know, these states get a lot of talk about bass fishing, where typically you might not hear about it in other areas. Idaho, let's start with that since you mentioned that first. You can't talk about bass fishing in Idaho without talking about Lake Coeur d'Alene.
Agreed.
Yeah, Coeur d'Alene is just a tremendous bass fishery. And the chain, you know, chain lakes there, it's just fantastic fishing. I love to go there too and vacation there. And it's a beautiful, beautiful area. So that's top of the list. A few others I haven't fished, but some of the members, they keep talking about them and it keeps coming up. It's like Brownlee Reservoir.
Yes.
You know, that's a fantastic fishery. Dworshak Reservoir. CJ Strike Reservoir, and a very popular area, but again, great fishery, is the Snake River just below Hell's Canyon Dam.
Right.
Some fantastic smallmouth fishing there. So those are just some of the tremendous opportunities that are in Idaho. You mentioned Montana. Gosh, it's such a big state. There's so many opportunities there. It's hard to narrow down choices, but Fort Peck would be a top one. And, you know, smallmouth state record was caught there, and it continues to pump out good smallies.
Oh, yes.
Lake Elmo is another great fishery. I think that one has a largemouth record, if I remember correctly.
Well, not only that, it gave up the largemouth record just last month to the most unlikely of anglers, a young man fishing with a night crawler from shore who was watching TikTok videos when the state record bass hit his line. So, yeah, I know. People like you and me have been bass fishing our entire lives. This guy, usually fly fish, but I just went to the lake and plopped down a worm, and, you know, 15 minutes later, he catches the new state record bass out of Lake Elmo.
You know, that is so funny because, you know, I often hear on our forums and emails, and I talk to anglers, you know, they feel at a disadvantage when they're fishing from the shore. And really, that's not the case. There's so many opportunities and even advantages from fishing from the shore. And sure enough, you can catch a state record from the shore just as anybody could from a boat. So that's fantastic news.
So you're saying there's a chance. We only got about a minute left, but what about Wyoming? We got some stations there, and Wyoming's just not a state you hear about when it comes to bass fishing.
No, it's not. In Wyoming, it is tough. There's a lot of it's kind of difficult for bass fishing there, just mainly for their elevation, and there's not as many opportunities. But the Flaming Gorge Reservoir is a really good reservoir where the state smallmouth record was taken. And the Clean Burn Ponds, state largemouth was taken there, and in that vicinity, actually, their previous largemouth record came from that area as well.
Well, I'll be done.
So that gets a lot of talk, and that's actually a really good area to go. But there's Bighorn Lake, Keyhole Reservoir, you know, Grey Rocks Reservoir. There's all great big fisheries there. And of course, if you live near Colorado border, there's opportunities there near Colorado. So, you know, Wyoming's got opportunities.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Just a taste of some of the information you're going to find at bassresource.com. Look for great lakes to fish. Look for techniques and ways to become a better angler. And watch some of those videos, too, and get engaged with the forum. I think you're going to really enjoy it. The website, again, bassresource.com. Glenn, thanks for the great job you do there. And thanks for sharing it with our listeners today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having me, John. I really appreciate it.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. I got to tell you about a great new book I've got in my hands. It's from Falcon Guides. It's the Nature Guide to Glacier and Waterton Lakes National Parks. And with this park getting more visitation than ever, this is definitely a guide you're going to want to take with you to help you identify all the different animals and birds and fish and flowers you're going to see there. And with us here to tell you more about this wonderful book is the author, Amy Grisak. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, John. I am delighted to be on your program.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about your book? I gave the very brief overview, but it goes a lot deeper than that. It's actually not just animals and plants. You've got more than that, too.
We do. When I was approached by Falcon to create a nature guide, we wanted to touch on, like you said, those animals and the plants that people are likely going to see, but also the trees and shrubs and butterflies, you know, the insects, and even some of the rocks, because there's so much gorgeous geology in the park that that's a fun aspect, too. So we wanted to try to cover pretty much everything, you know, fish included. Even though angling isn't a huge issue or a huge deal for Glacier, if somebody was out fishing, they need to know what they're catching.
Absolutely. And my one trip to Glacier, I was definitely fishing and I was catching, so I would have loved
Excellent.
To have had your book.
But anyway,
let's talk a little bit about putting this book together. It is a nature guide, and I noticed there are a few photos, you know, like for instance of a mountain lion. That's a really hard picture to get, so that's a stock photo. But most of the photos of the trees and the wildflowers and especially the birds, the animals, they were all taken by you. So I guess the first question is, did you start off with a list of all these things that are found in Glacier National Park that's published either by the National Park Service or whoever? And then did you set out to take pictures of all these things?
Yes, there is a fantastic list of species, flora and fauna on the National Park site for Glacier. And so I started there and I built that foundation. I built that list. And of course, a lot of the mammals that we are likely to see in the park, such as the mountain goats, which is what is on the cover of the book, and grizzly bears and animals like that we wanted to include, but also wanted to include the ground squirrels and the marmots, you know, so, and of course the pika. They call them rock rabbits, which is one of my favorites. So I wanted to include those mammals that people would see. And the same thing along with the birds and flowers and everything else. It's like my goal was when somebody is walking down the trail and they see a flower, I want them to be able to turn to the book really quick and be able to say, ah, that's a Mariposa lily, or you know, that's bear grass. And so that was my goal.
Well, I've got to tell you, you did a really good job with this. It is not easy to get photographs of animals in the wild because they don't necessarily want to cooperate and stand still for that picture that you're taking. And you did a great job. I mean, this being a nature guide, you can't have, you know, like a butt fleeing into the grass and it's like, oh, there's your grizzly bear. You've got to have like, you know, that full profile. And you pulled it off and you really got all sorts of animals, not just grizzlies and black bears, but, you know, some other ones that I think would be hard to get good pictures of, like porcupines. I mean, I've come across a couple porcupines in my life, but they're not an easy thing to find or photograph.
No, you're right. You know, porcupines can be hit and miss. Some years it seems they're out, they're visible, and thankfully that year they were, so I was able to find some. But you're so right. You know, the grizzlies and the black bears, they will appear many times when you don't expect it. For example, the black bear was when my sons and I were down by St. Mary Lake and we were watching a loon, and all of a sudden a black bear popped out in front of us, which is why you never leave your vehicle without your bear spray. You just never know.
This is
but
true.
The good thing is after spending 30 years in the park, I have a pretty good idea of where to find the wildlife, although it's never a sure thing. You know, even with all that time spent there, I've still never gotten that full frame shot of a wolverine. That one still eludes me.
Well, if you ever even see a wolverine, you were like two steps ahead of most of us. So don't worry about that. You know, I really enjoyed some of the photos that you had. I'll tell you what, the favorite photo in your book is actually the photo you have of bear grass, because you have the bear grass in the foreground, and then you have this meadow, and then you have this mountain backdrop and blue skies, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. You're a very good photographer, not just a close-up photographer. I mean, great composition.
Oh, I appreciate that very much. And oh, that shot is just so typically Glacier, because in the summertime when we have those gorgeous blue skies and you have these wildflowers just bursting all around you, especially the bear grass, because it's so dramatic. And with the scenery in Glacier, you can't take a bad picture, truthfully. So I don't know if it's me or just the area.
I don't know. You should see some of my photos and you'll say, no, you really can't take a bad picture.
Oh, no.
All right. Let's talk about some things I think people are interested in. And that includes the best places in Glacier National Park to see certain types of wildlife. And we're going to start off with bears. Obviously, you don't want to see them up close, but if you are looking for bears and you want to see them, where would you steer people in the park?
Typically, go to Many Glacier. That seems to be Bear Central. And the nice thing for both grizzlies and black bears, even though, you know, there are quite a few grizzlies over in that area, and I don't think it's necessarily a higher concentration. It's just the way the landscape is. It's more open. So one of the best ways to go about it in the summertime, and I think they'll start doing this again this year, at the Swift Current Motel campground or in the parking lot, the naturalists will set up spotting scopes in the evening and scan the whole hillsides, all those hillsides and the one behind the motel and the restaurant and everything. And so many times you're able to spot grizzlies or black bears and, you know, mountain goats, bighorn sheep. And so it's just, it's a perfect, safe way to view the wildlife over in Many Glacier. So that's definitely a really good place to see bears.
All right. Well, let's turn to mountain goats, a species I think a lot of people associate with Glacier National Park.
Oh, mountain goats are another one of my favorite. Although, who am I kidding? Truthfully, for every species, I'll say, oh, that's my favorite. But no, mountain goats, they're the icon of Glacier, of course, with the Great Northern symbol. And Logan Pass, of course, is a very, very popular and common spot to see mountain goats. A lot of times they're walking near the visitor center or along the High Line Trail or along the boardwalk that heads out to Hidden Lake, to the overlook and down to Hidden Lake. The goat on the cover was actually on the way up to Sperry Chalet several years ago. And a lot of times you need to step off the trail because the goats are coming through.
Right.
And the goats are so used to people that they're not necessarily going to step off. You need to get out of the way. So Sperry's a really good place. If you really want a good hike and to see mountain goats, the Mount Brown Lookout is also renowned for mountain goats hanging on and around the lookout. So those are all really good spots.
Turning to flora, when it comes to wildflowers, what is the best place, or maybe I should say the best time of year, to visit Glacier to really take them all in?
You bring up a very good point, because for anybody who's been to Glacier, you know it's just one big wildflower paradise. But the key thing is not where to go as to when you're going to be there. Whatever season you're going to be there is going to be this huge botanical display, which is what I love. And for example, right now we have the Glacier lilies are starting to bloom, and the Trillium, it's three white, gorgeous white petals. Sometimes they're a little pink. And what is fascinating about the Trillium that I discovered in my research is they are typically 18 years before they even bloom.
I had no idea.
And
wow.
I didn't either before looking into this. And then the oldest one recorded, which I believe was actually in Oregon, was 72 years old for that single plant, which really gives you a new appreciation to this flower that you're seeing. And, you know, many of us, I think, take it for granted. You know, many of us take the Trillium for granted in the spring. But here with this flower that's blooming, it's at least 18 years old and possibly decades older.
That's the great thing about this show. We all get to learn something on Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We are running short on time, but Falcon Guides, Nature Guide to Glacier and Waterton Lakes National Parks, it's coming out in June. Where can folks get it?
They, of course, can find it on Amazon.com or in any of the gift shops in Glacier. And I'm also going to sell signed copies on my website, which is amygriesack.com.
That's amygriesack.com for a signed copy. Those are always the best gifts when you can get an autographed copy. Griesack is spelled G-R-I-S-A-K. That's Amy Griesack. And the website again is amygriesack.com. Amy, congratulations on your first book. You really did a great job with it. And I know I'm going to use it the next time I go to Glacier National Park.
Thank you so much, John, and definitely give me a call whenever you're out this way and we'll go look for some wildlife.
Located in the northeast corner of Oregon, Wallowa County offers a unique destination rich in natural beauty and outdoors recreation. Enjoy the clear waters of Wallowa Lake. Take a tram to the top of Mount Howard for million-dollar views. Hike or ride into the Eagle Cap Wilderness and fish or raft the Wallowa and Grand Ronde Rivers. It's all waiting for you in beautiful Wallowa County. Plan your visit today at WallowaCountyChamber.com. That's WallowaCountyChamber.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand access to the outdoors. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter and has what you need as a hunter, angler, hiker, paddler, camper, and outdoors enthusiast. They also carry an extensive assortment of firearms and ammunition you simply can't find anymore at many big box stores. On top of that, their knowledgeable staff is here to help you purchase the right gear so you can get the most out of your outdoor experience. Visit your local Sportsman's Warehouse store today or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com.
We've got time for one more shot of Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
Welcome back. It's that time again.
It's time to talk record fish.
From Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, we learn another state record has been broken by an angler in the Treasure State. It all happened on May 10th when Trevor Johnson of Helena went fishing at Holter Lake for walleye, and he caught a big one. Weighed in at 18.02 pounds on a certified scale, measured 32 and a quarter inches in length, and had a girth of 22 inches. He caught this record-setting fish on a jig, and this beat the previous state walleye record that was caught in 2007 from Tiber Reservoir.
Congratulations on your new record.
And now it's time for your Sportsman's Warehouse Trivia Question of the Week. It's all about a river that's the largest major undammed river in the lower 48 states. You'll find its headwaters near Younts Peak in Wyoming. From there, it flows through a popular national park, then through Montana, and empties into the Missouri River in North Dakota. Do you know the name of this river, which is also known for very good trout fishing? If you know the answer, you know what to do. Go to our Facebook page at Northwestern Outdoors Radio. If you haven't already, please like and follow that Facebook page, and then look for the post thread where we have the question and give us your answer there. If you don't do Facebook, you can just contact us through our website at northwesternoutdoors.com. Again, let us know the name of the largest major undammed river in the lower 48 states that flows through Wyoming and Montana before meeting up with the Missouri River in North Dakota. One lucky person who guesses right will win that $25 gift card we give away every week from Sportsman's Warehouse. By the way, we are also doing another giveaway on our America Outdoors Radio Facebook page. You should check that out too. It's time to wrap things up, but as we do, I'd like to thank our guests today. That includes Bob Loomis and David Sparks, who always bring us great content every week on this show, and Amy Grisak with that wonderful nature guide she just came out with, Glenn May, the man behind BassResource.com, and Eric Winther, the project lead for the Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery Program. We are out of time, so until next time, do take care, God bless, and make it a point to spend some time outdoors.